Yalayanam namaskritya nalam ceva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, chapter entitled Elements of Material Creation. Text number 29. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Prakriti.
Prakriti.
Purushash.
Purushash.
Cheti.
Cheti.
Vikalpa.
Vikalpa.
Purushashapa.
Purushashapa.
Esha.
Esha.
Vaikarikaha.
Vaikarikaha.
Sago.
Sago.
Nguna.
Nguna.
Vyatikaratmaka.
Vyatikaratmaka.
Prakriti Purushascheti.
Prakriti Purushascheti.
Vikalpa Purushashapa.
Vikalpa Purushashapa.
Esha Vaikarika Sago.
Esha Vaikarika Sago.
Guna Vyatikaratmaka.
Guna Vyatikaratmaka.
There's two,
yeah.
It's repetition of A and R.
So just knock out the A and R. Prakriti Purushascheti.
Prakriti Purushascheti.
Vikalpa Purushashapa.
Vikalpa Purushashapa.
There's two lots of AR. Yeah, it's just one of them can go.
Prakriti Purushascheti.
Prakriti Purushascheti.
Vikalpa Purusharshapa.
Vikalpa Purusharshapa.
Esha Vaikarika Sago.
Esha Vaikarika Sago.
Guna, sorry. Guna Vyatikaratmaka.
Guna Vyatikaratmaka.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
Prakriti.
Prakriti.
Nature.
Nature.
Purusha.
Purusha.
The enjoyer.
The enjoyer.
Living entity.
Living entity.
Cha.
And.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Vikalpa.
Vikalpa.
Complete distinction.
Complete distinction.
Purusha. Rishapa.
Purusha.
Or best amongst men.
Best amongst men.
Esha.
Esha.
This.
This.
Vaikarikaha.
Vaikarikaha.
Subject to transformation.
Subject to transformation.
Sarga.
Sarga.
Creation.
Creation.
Guna.
Guna.
Of the modes of nature.
Of the modes of nature.
Vyatikara.
Vyatikara.
The agitation.
Agitation.
Atmakaha.
Atmakaha.
Based upon.
Based upon.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
John.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said. Oh, sorry. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada.
John.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best among men. Material nature is, and its enjoyer are clearly distinct. This manifest creation undergoes constant transformation, being founded upon the agitation of the modes of nature. Translation responsibly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
O best among men,
O best among men.
Material nature and its enjoyer,
material nature and its enjoyer,
clearly distinct.
Are clearly distinct.
This manifest creation.
This manifest creation.
Undergoes constant transformation.
Undergoes constant transformation.
Being founded upon the agitation of the modes of nature.
Being founded upon the agitation of the modes of nature.
Purport. The word Purush indicates the living entity and also the Supreme Lord, who is the supreme living entity. Material nature subject to transformation is full of duality, whereas the Lord is one and absolute. Material nature is dependent on its creator, maintainer, and annihilator, the Lord. However, is completely self-reliant and independent. In the same way, material nature is unconscious and dull, lacking self-awareness, whereas the Supreme Lord is self-sufficient, omniscience. The individual living entity shares the eternality, bliss, and knowledge of the personality of Godhead, and is also completely distinct from material nature. The word saga here refers to the material amalgamation of the body, which covers the living entity. The material body undergoes constant transformation and is thus clearly different from the living entity, who is eternally the same. In the transcendental kingdom of God, there is no conflict or agitation caused by creation, maintenance, and destruction as exhibited in the material world. There, all variety is resolved in the transcendental loving experience of Krishna consciousness, the natural constitutional position of the soul. Omigyan timadan dasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swa padantikam. Pancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha. Titanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasana Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, as we said in the previous class, just close that door and they cover it. As we said on the previous class, then the Krishna is speaking here of the Sambandha Gyan, or Sambandha Tattva. Sambandha means? Anyone know what it means? Yeah, relationship. Sambandha means the relationship in between Krishna, or God, and God's creation. So this is known as Sambandha Gyan, understanding how everything relates to each other, which we gave an elaborate class on a couple of weeks ago. Like that. So, in terms of the relationship between the material energy and God and the Jiva, which is Ishvara, Prakriti, and Jiva, because the Bhagavad Gita speaks of five subject matters. Prabhupada explains this in the introduction to the Gita. What are the five subject matters of the Gita? Yeah, Purusha or Ishvara, which means Purusha, which means God. Yeah. Jiva, which means us. Prakriti, which means nature, which means apara prakriti and para prakriti. There is a superior nature and there is an inferior nature. Karma, which means the activities of the jivas, and kala. Kala means the time factor. So karma is, of the five, it is not constant. It does not always exist. Karma can come and go. The others always exist. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, and Kala always exist. Whereas the karma of the living entities does not always exist. In other words, you do karma, you do activity, but that activity will breed a reaction, but that reaction may not last eternally. It is just a temporary reaction. Just like you may do something, to someone else. You treat someone improperly. So then you get an improper reaction in the future. Something happens back to you. But then as soon as that reaction takes place, and you experience that reaction, then as soon as that is passed, that time is passed, then that's it. That reaction is gone. We have to learn this in terms of how we deal with the material energy, in terms of devotees dealing with the material energy. And we have to understand how to deal with karma or reactions in this material world. We should not be too responsive to reactions in this material world. You should let them pass. Just like sometimes someone will become very agitated. And when they become agitated, then they become inimical towards you. And someone may speak very harshly to you. So that is your karma coming. Sometimes someone speaks very harshly to you, right? And that is because of our previous activities, because we have spoken very harshly to other people for many, many lifetimes. Right? So because we have done impious activities previously, then the reactions come in this lifetime. But then when those reactions come, Krishna says, titikshaswa, one should be tolerant, tolerated. Because if you tolerate it, then the reaction ceases, it passes. And you get the reaction, right? And then if you tolerate the reaction, then that's it. It disappears, and that's the end of that karma. And then you don't have to suffer that again. But what usually happens is people, when they get some karmic reaction, in other words, someone speaks to them very harshly, and then what do they do? What is the general response? What's that?
They reply very harshly.
Yeah, then they respond. They do the same thing back. And then what does that do? You do the same thing back, someone speaks to you very harshly, then you do it back to them, and then it all generates again. It's a fresh karma. And you've just spoken to someone very harshly, and that means you will get the reaction back again in the future, usually the next moment. You speak to someone very harshly, then they speak to you harshly, and they speak to you, and then friction comes. This is karma. Whereas if one of the people, and especially if it's the devotee, and especially if it's the more advanced devotee, if they learn to become tolerant, then these things can pass. The karmas can be burnt up. That's why Krishna says, he recommends that one become tolerant when dealing with this material energy. Don't become too responsive to the material energy. Actually, Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Devotion, it's explained by Jiva Goswami in his commentary on Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is explained that in general, devotees are not too. I'm just trying to think of how to explain it. In general, devotees are not too. How do you say it? Like the emotions do not fluctuate so much. The devotees' emotions do not go up and down too much. If people's emotions go up and down too much, this is due to the modes of nature. Like we become too happy. You know, just like you see the non-devotees, they become too. They overreact to things. They get a little too carried away. Just like a few weeks ago, they had the World Cup soccer. Right, so then they're having the grand final. Netherlands are playing Spain. Whole world is watching. Right, there's a billion people or something watching on the planet or watching the game. Goes into overtime. No one's kicked a goal. Everyone's very tense, very tense, very tense. And suddenly, one of the Spanish guys kicks the goal. Right, and then half of the planet erupts. Right? Everyone in Spain just goes. And everyone just overreacts to the situation, right? If you look at it logically, right, it's just a couple of guys, 22 boys, just running around in South Africa, kicking a ball, right? And someone kicks a goal. It's just like if we go and play, sometimes at the farm we play some soccer or some cricket or something. So then one of us kicks a goal, then we all go, then we have some fun, it's enjoyable. We let it. then we don't like run around the building three times and do a lap and then slide on our knees and then and so we don't get too carried away with the whole situation. Right? It's just a temporary situation. So it is said, for the Jiva Goswami explains, that generally the devotees, they do not fluctuate too much in their emotions. The emotions don't go too euphoric and don't become too depressive. We don't go too far. Well, devotees have generally like a scale, which they a medium scale in which they operate in. Like that. We don't become too, we don't fluctuate too much with the modes of nature. The non-devotees, they tend to fluctuate too much with the modes of material. They get too carried away with things. Just like Krishna explains in the Gita, he says that one who is self-realized, Brahma-bhuta, prasannatma, na shochiti, na kangshiti. He does not hanker, he does not lament. He doesn't become too caught up in the material world. Those who are in the material world, they become too much, they hanker too much and they lament too much with their reactions in the material world, with what goes on in their life. You see, the non-devotees, then when they become, when something goes not the way that they want it, then they lament too much. And then if something goes the way they want it, then they become too much enthusiastic. But devotees are not like that. Jiva Goswami explains devotees have to be more balanced in their approach, in dealing with the material world. Right? In dealing with the material world, we don't get too carried away. We don't get too depressed about things. If something negative happens in our life, we don't let it affect us too much. Why don't we let it affect us too much?
Temporary.
Because it's temporary. Right? It doesn't affect us too much. Like, it happens. Devotee experience, okay, this is happening to me now, right? And is affecting my mind, my body. But we don't give up our service to Krishna. We don't stop serving Krishna. Right? We don't stop chanting our rounds. Right? We don't stop doing our service, which has been given to us by our spiritual master. We don't forget everything and stop everything because we're going through some difficulty. And we don't become too distracted by material pleasure or sense gratification. We don't think, oh, now this is too enjoyable, so now I'll stop serving Krishna. I'm having too much good time now, so I don't have to serve Krishna at the moment. So devotees are not they're not like this. They don't fluctuate so much within the modes of material nature. They're more steady, they're more consistent. And this is a symptom of us making spiritual advancement. When we become more advanced, more progressive, according to Rupa Goswami's definition of advancement in Krishna consciousness, then when we get past our anattas, or the unwanted material desires in our heart, then what state do we reach?
Nishta.
We become?
Nishta.
Nishta means? Steady. Fixed. When anattas are cleansed away from the heart, we become very steady in devotional service. Become very fixed. We don't fluctuate in devotional service. We don't become enthusiastic one day to do our service and unenthusiastic the next day to do our service. You don't fluctuate so much with your divine and demoniac nature. Because it's described in chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna describes the divine and the demoniac nature. Now it's explained that in such a yuga, the demons and the devotees were on different planets. Just like you read in the Bhagavatam, sometimes the demons and the devotees, the demons sometimes they attack Swarga. They attack heaven. They attack the heavenly planets. Like that. So they're in separate locations. They're not in the same place. And then in Treta Yuga, it's described that the demons and the devotees are on the same planet, but they're in different countries. Just like you see in the Ramayana. Then all of the Rakshasas were in Lanka, a different country, and the devotees were in Bharatvarsh, in India. They're in a different country. So everyone was in a different place. Like that. And then in Dwapara Yuga, they're in the same country, but they're in different families. And just like you see in the Mahabharata, you'll see that the Kauravas and the Pandavas, right? Divine and demoniac, in different families. And in Kali Yuga, they're inside the same body. It means that sometimes you wake up in the morning and it's the demon. And sometimes you wake up in the morning and it's the devotee. And sometimes at 9 o'clock in the morning, it's the devotee. And then at 10 o'clock, it's the demon. Like that. So this, we have this conflicting nature, especially in Kali Yuga, this becomes prevalent. That we have two, well, we're basically, everyone is schizophrenic. Basically, everyone has a conflicting personality in Kali Yuga. We have a desire to serve Krishna, a sincere desire to serve Krishna. We also have a very sincere desire to forget Krishna. So both of these things are conflicting. So nishta, when one becomes more advanced, when one removes the anattas or the unwanted things in the heart, then one becomes more steady in one's devotional service. In other words, one does not take so much notice of one's demoniac nature. It's not that it has disappeared, but one doesn't become so overcome by it. Just like you get up in the morning and you do your service and you're chanting your rounds, and then your mind says all sorts of crazy things. So when you become a little more advanced as a devotee, then you just get used to this monkey that sits on your back. Because that's all your mind is. It's just like a monkey who's sitting on your back, just in your ear. Why don't you do this today? So you just become used to it. It's just this guy who's sitting on your back all the time. It's your mind. And you're just like, okay. Like that. You just get the stick and you just go. That. And just say, be quiet for a while. And you stay fixed. You don't take so much notice. That's nishta. Now, nishta means you become steady in devotional service, right? Not always fluctuating, you know, not your moods going up and down. Oh, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. Like that. Okay, I didn't get it, but still, I serve Krishna. Maybe Krishna will give it to me in the future if he wants. Here's the thing that devotees have to learn. Even when Prabhupada was leaving this world in 1977, the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can we pray to Krishna that you stay with us? And Prabhupada said that you should pray, Krishna, if you desire, please let Srila Prabhupada stay with us longer. So this is the way that Prabhupada taught us to pray. We don't go to Krishna and say, Krishna, I need a wife. Or Krishna, I need a husband. Or Krishna, like that. You can go to him and you can say, Krishna, I need this thing, I want this thing. But if you desire, you can give it to me when you think it is appropriate. Or when you think it is best for me. Then you can give it to me. That's how a devotee thinks. He doesn't place unnecessary demands upon Krishna. In other words, it doesn't become an exchange of material commodity. Prabhupada said this is vanik mentality. Vanik means you go to the shop, you give some money, right? And then after you give some money, then you get something in return. Right? That's how a lot of people on the face of the planet deal with God. Right? I come in, I put $2 in the hundi, and then I ask for a Mercedes Benz. Right? That's vanik mentality. That's how people think. So devotees have to learn not to deal with Krishna like that. Devotees have to deal with Krishna in a much more mature way, and they have to deal with Krishna in a personal way. And they have to learn to deal with Krishna not in a material way. In other words, we have to deal with Krishna on the platform of steadiness in the beginning, which means that we keep serving Krishna, regardless of how Krishna desires to deal with us. Because sometimes Krishna will deal with us in a very soft way, and sometimes he'll deal with us in a very hard way. Just like Srila Prabhupada was said to be, as soft as a rose and as hard as a thunderbolt. So sometimes the senior devotees are very soft, and sometimes the senior devotees, they are very strict, like that. But you must be steady. It doesn't mean you change your service. It doesn't mean you change your attitude. If the devotee gives you some chastisement, the senior devotee chastises you, right? Then you take that as mercy and you continue in your service. And if the senior devotee gives you some encouragement, then you take that as mercy and you continue in your service. But you don't become despondent. Oh, I got chastised today. I can't do my service. Senior devotees do not like me. Actually, if you get some chastisement from the senior devotee, that is out of affection. Srila Prabhupada, one time Giriraj Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how do we feel when sometimes you are very heavy on us? Just like sometimes the senior devotees are a little strict on us, or sometimes our guru is a little strict on us. What do you think it was like being chastised directly by Srila Prabhupada himself? Can you imagine it? Directly, Prabhupada himself directly chastising you. Right? It was very intense. Right? Prabhupada was very heavy. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj went in to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, he was the GBC for India, and Prabhupada would travel sometimes for about 3 months around the world. Between 1970 and 74, he would go off and travel, and then he'd come back. So they had a system where Prabhupada set up in ISKCON that all the bank accounts in ISKCON had to have dual signatures on the accounts. So in order for a check to be deposited, Prabhupada had to sign it, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they had to sign it. Both of them had to sign it. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was finding this quite difficult because Prabhupada would go travelling around the world for 3 months. Right? He'd go to like Germany and then England and then America and then like this and then come back to England. And like they had to send the checks to where Prabhupada was going to get to. Prabhupada would get there, he would read the letter, see what it was for. If he approved, he would sign it and then send it back in the mail. So it was quite difficult to organise. So one time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj walked into the room and explained the situation to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, it's very difficult. We're trying to do this and then you go like that. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Prabhupada, why don't you sign some checks? Just leave your signature, 100 checks or something, just put your signature and just leave them. And then when I need them, I can just sign them. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, do you mind if I spend my money the way I want to spend my money? Like that. And just directly looked through Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj just offered his obeisances and very quietly left the room. when Prabhupada is looking at you just directly and disapproving of you, right, then this is extremely heavy like that. So one time Giriraj Maharaj, he said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, sometimes when you chastise us it's very difficult to take. Because you're so heavy, sometimes Prabhupada was like a thunderbolt. Like that. And he said, how should we feel when you chastise us so heavily? And Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, to Giriraj Maharaj, he said that you should feel very fortunate that someone loves you so much that they are willing to spend the time to correct you. Words to this effect. So the spiritual master or the senior devotee, when they are correcting us, they're doing it out of affection. They're doing it because they want to see us improve. It's not that they're doing it because they just want to. They're just angry and they cannot control their anger. Sometimes they become angry and they become strong and strict because they want to see us improve. So they have to give us some like that. So that is the mood. So devotees should be like that. So sometimes Krishna, when he deals with us, right, sometimes he's very strict and sometimes he's very soft. But that's up to him, how he wants to deal. No? But we should not become despondent. Srimati Radharani says to Krishna in Shikshastika, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken hearted by not being present before me, still you are my Lord, birth after birth. That is the mood of the devotee. If the devotee is giving us some, or if Krishna is giving us some difficulty, we take that as their mercy. If he's giving us something pleasurable or easy, we also take that as his mercy. So this is how the devotees respond. We have to learn to respond like that. That is called nishtha. That is called steadiness and devotion. This is how we advance in devotional service. If we're always reacting and fluctuating according to the modes of material nature, then it's very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. And basically you'll see, you can understand which modes of nature you're affected by how you respond to the events which happen in your life. If you're more in the mode of goodness, you'll be more steady when you have to deal with the different things that take place in your life. If you're too much in passion or ignorance, if you're too much in passion, you'll overreact to things. When something negative happens, you overreact. When something positive happens, you overreact. Right? And if you're in the mode of ignorance, darkness, you'll become disturbed too easily, especially when something negative happens to you. You become very disturbed in consciousness. So devotees need to elevate their consciousness to a point that they become more steady in this situation. So ultimately, in the Srimad Bhagavatam has already taught us, because now we're in Canto 11, but if we've studied the Bhagavatam up until now, how does the Bhagavatam describe this material world in terms of the jiva? Because we're all in this material world, right? Every living entity is within this material world. So what is our relationship with it? Right? In terms of the jiva and the prakriti, or us, who are tiny little souls, and this material energy, what is our relationship to it according to the Bhagavatam? Ultimately, yeah. But what's, I'm thinking in a different perspective. What is our, okay, say for the non-devotees, or for the devotees, what is the relationship?
Enjoy.
Yeah, to enjoy it, yeah. That's it. But there's another situation which is there. You're correct, everything you're saying is correct. I'm looking for something different. What's our relationship with this material energy? What is it? Yeah, we're superior to it. But what are we experiencing? What is it like, what we're experiencing? How does the Bhagavatam describe the experience that we have in this material world? Yeah, happiness and distress. And what is that happiness and distress? How does the Bhagavatam say? What is it? What sort of experience is it? Yeah, duality. In other words, the Bhagavatam says what we're experiencing is a dream. We're not awake at this point in time. You have to understand that. As long as you're in the bodily concept of life, you're not actually fully awake in your consciousness. Your consciousness is somewhat covered and somewhat illusory. As long as you're in the bodily concept of life, it is like dreaming. Just like when you go to sleep, you have a dream, and then you wake up, and that dream was false. It wasn't real. But when it was happening, you felt like it was real. Right? So that's how the Bhagavatam describes what we experience in this material world. It's not actually real. It's not actually happening to us. But we're thinking that this is reality. This is real. This is all in all. So that is the nature of the material experience which the jiva has in this material world. So the Bhagavatam says this to wake us up. You're dreaming, therefore wake up. Do not stay under the illusion of Maya, or that which is not. The dream is not real. Right? So all of the happiness and all of the distress that you experience in the dream is not real. Right? And it's just something which we relate to. And because we relate to it, then we think, oh, now I'm happy, or now I'm sad. Right? But that is because of our false relationship with the material energy. But actually, we're not happy or sad. The soul, in its original constitutional position, experiences unlimited happiness. Ananda Mayo Vyasat. He's always looking for bliss. And Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshastika, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, that the happiness which the soul experiences when it's reconnected with Krishna in devotional service, that happiness which the soul experiences is called Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. It is an unlimited, ever-increasing ocean of bliss. That is the nature of the jiva, to experience an ever-increasing, unlimited ocean of bliss. That is our nature, not this dream. And we go through, oh, now I'm sad. This girl doesn't like me anymore. Or this boy doesn't like me anymore. I'm so sad. Like that. This is the dream. Like that. But what we have in our original relationship with Krishna is ever increasing bliss. And the way Krishna deals with the devotees, it's not that Krishna is always just straightforward with the devotees. Lord Narayan, in that form, he is very straightforward with the devotees. The mood is quite different because Lord Narayan is worshipped in which bhav? Yeah, Aishwarya bhav. And in terms of the five rasas, which rasa is it? Yeah, Dasya Ras. Lord Narayan is worshipped in Dasya Ras, means he is the master, we are the servant. But Krishna is worshipped in which rasas? In Vrindavan, specifically. Right? Only three rasas exist in Vrindavan. Right? Madhurya, Vatsalya, and Sakya. There's only three rasas in Vrindavan. Friendship, conjugal love, and parenthood. They feel Krishna is the son, he is the lover, or he is the friend. So, if you're dealing in those three relationships, the relationships are not generally straightforward. Right? Amongst friends, relationships are not straightforward. Krishna doesn't deal straightforwardly with everyone. And they don't deal straightforwardly with him. Right? There's always something going on. There's always some rasa being churned. Just like Krishna is laying on the lap of Balaram, all the cowherd boys are out there in the fields and they all stop to have a rest. So Balaram sits under a tree. Krishna puts his head on Balaram's lap. He has his eyes closed. He's resting. And one of the cowherd boys, Subal or Arjuna or Ujwala or one of the cowherd boys, he says to Krishna, he says, I've got a ladder for you. He says, open your mouth. So Krishna's got his eyes closed and laying there. He opens his mouth. Right? And then they put a flower in his mouth. They drop a flower in his mouth. Not very straightforward. Would you do that to Lord Narayan? You know, you go to Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha and say, close your eyes. Right? Open your mouth. Right? Put a flower in and then run. Right? You would not do that. Would you go to the temple president? Right? Close your eyes, open your mouth, put a flower in and then run. Right? There's some things you don't do. But in the spiritual world, in Krishna's pastimes, all these things take place. Constantly everyone is getting everyone back. That is basically what the whole spiritual world is about. Basically, Krishna is dealing in such a way that he is constantly giving pleasure to the devotees by being non-straightforward, he's described as being crooked, right? He stands in a crooked way. He walks in a crooked way, right? He's not straightforward. He's not like the other incarnations. The other incarnations are very straightforward. They stand very straight and they're very straightforward in their reciprocation. Krishna is not straightforward. So, as Krishna's devotees, because we are worshipping Krishna, specifically we're worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us. That's what he's giving us. Prabhupada says in the 12th chapter, in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada says, we should fix our mind on Krishna only. We should not even divert our mind to other forms of God. Right? Only on Krishna. Only on Krishna in Vrindavan. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. We should not even divert our mind to other forms. And factually, that's what we're taught in ISKCON. We don't divert our mind to other forms. Just like when you think of Krishna, how do you think of him? Since you joined ISKCON, how do you think of Krishna? Whenever you think of him, you close your eyes and you think of him, how does he look? What's he doing? He's playing a flute. Right? Does he play a flute in Dwarka or Mathura? Not so much. Right? He does sometimes. Not that he doesn't. No flutes in Dwarka or Mathura. It's not like that. You know, he plays the flute, but not like he does in Vrindavan. It says in Vrindavan, it's his constant companion. It's part of the pastimes. The flute is cannot be extricated from his pastimes. Right? It is integral to all of his pastimes within Vrindavan. Constantly, it's his constant companion. Either he's playing it, or someone else is playing it, or it's being stolen from him, and he's looking for it. It's the source of so many pastimes, that flute. Actually, he has three flutes, or three types of flutes. The Murali, the Vamshi, and the Venu. Three types of flutes. One is very short, like 6 inches long. He plays with one hand, like very high pitched. Right? Another is, I think, about 12 inches long, like that. Plays like that. Another is about 18 inches long, longer one, very deep. That uses this to call the gopis, like that, very deep sound like that. So different types of flutes which are there, and they are the source of all of his pastimes. Actually, it is said that the Hare Krishna mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute when it comes into this world. Krishna is in the spiritual world right now. What is he doing? What's he doing in the spiritual world right now? Very good. He's playing his flute right now. He's in the spiritual world. He's playing his flute, right? So while he's playing his flute, that sound goes down, enters through the material universe, and comes into the universe as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Pure spiritual sound. Right? So when we chant Hare Krishna, when we chant the Maha Mantra, when we hear it and when others hear it, that spiritual sound is coming from the spiritual world. Narottam Das Thakur says, Golo Kera Prema Dharma. Harinama Sankirtana. It is coming from the spiritual world itself. Prabhupada explains in the Anshalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the sound directly comes from Krishna's flute in the spiritual world. So, Srila Prabhupada explains that we should not divert our mind to any other form except Krishna. So you understand that we're meditating on Krishna, and Krishna deals with his devotees in very different ways to the way he deals with the other incarnations or his other forms, the way they deal with their devotees. In South India, people like to worship Lakshmi Narayan. Lord Narayan, he deals very differently with his devotees. But we worship Radha Krishna, and Krishna deals very specifically with his devotees. So you can expect that your life is going to be full of surprises. Because the person that you worship every day and the person whose name you chant 25,000 times a day, he's that name, that personality, he is full of surprises. That's his nature. There's always something going on. If you're around him, it's never static. It's ecstatic. Right? It's very colourful being around him. In the spirit, you read all the pastimes, it's very, very colourful. It's very extraordinary being around him, being with him. So you can expect now that you're worshipping him, you can expect your life to be full of those kind of surprises. So the test for the devotee is to stay constant in those surprises. Whether he hands us roughly by his embrace, which sometimes he does, sometimes he's rough. Whether he makes you broken-hearted, sometimes he does that too. Or whether sometimes he just gives you unlimited bliss. Still, he is our Lord, birth after birth. Right? So this is the test for the devotee. You have to become fixed, you have to become steady. And that's the test. That's Krishna consciousness. Spiritual world is not a... Don't think you get back to the spiritual world and then it becomes all peaceful. Right? It's not peaceful. Right? Krishna is constantly creating rasa with his devotees. Just like you look at the picture. Look at the picture of Balaram. Does it look peaceful? Huh? Balaram's intoxicated. Why is he intoxicated? Huh? Why is he intoxicated in that picture? Huh? Drinking too much? Varuni juice. Huh? Intoxication. In the spiritual world, the Varuni juice comes out of the trees. It flows out of the trees like the sap comes out of the tree. So the Varuni just comes and they all get it, drink it, and everyone becomes intoxicated. Everyone becomes mad. So Balaram becomes mad. And then the Jamuna is at some distance. That's what's happening in that pastime. Jamuna is at some distance. So then Balaram says, hey, Jamunaji, come here. And she's at a distance and she says, I'm not going to come near you. You are intoxicated. And he says, well, if you do not come, I will make you come. And then he picks up his plow. He lifts his plow and he's going to put it in the earth and make a line to make her flow towards him. So when she sees...
The picture of the angel.
Oh, is it that picture? So then, when he hits the plow into the before he says to her, you have to come. And she says, I'm not going to come near you. And he says, then I'll make you come. And then when she understands his mood, then suddenly she flows towards him. She diverts her course and she comes close to him. Right, and then he's got the plow, but then she comes out and says, please, I should have pleased you. Please forgive me. Like that. And then he becomes pacified. And he puts down the plow. And he says, okay. And he says to all the gopis, okay, everyone, take bath. So then everyone enters into the waters of the Jamuna, and everyone has Jal Keli. Jal Keli means water pastime, water sports, splashing each other. Like that. Just like if you come with us in our trips, to India, to the Ganges, to the Jamuna, to Jagannath Puri, where we bathe in Indradyumna Sarovara, where we go and we enjoy pastimes following the footsteps of Krishna and his eternal associates. And we have big water fights. Just like I took Mathura Manaha Prabhu there. I took him to Mayapur a few years ago. And while he was taking bath in the Ganges, then I picked up some mud and I threw it, bang, right in the side of his head. And I was speaking to him and he said, I've still got some of that mud in my ear. These are the pastimes we experience. So this is the spiritual world. You have to become very serious, you have to become very fixed, you have to become very strong in your determination to attain the spiritual world. But when you attain it, then you'll be in unlimited bliss. The spiritual world is full of unlimited bliss. Unlimited bliss because you're with Krishna. And Krishna is always blissful. He's always happy. And his pastimes are always full of twists and turns, which makes life very interesting. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Because we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya has told us to not divert our mind to any other form but Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya is Channa avatar, which means he is hidden avatar. He does not like to be worshipped directly in his pastimes. Because he's in the mood of being a devotee, so he doesn't want everyone to worship him. So therefore he says, you worship Krishna. But actually in the mind, the devotees want to worship Krishna and Lord Chaitanya simultaneously. That's why when Prabhupada travelled around the world and he opened these temples, then he installed Gaur Nittai and Radha Krishna. Because the devotees, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Prabhupada is the current in the modern age, he's the leader of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Then the Gaudiyas, they want to worship both Radha Krishna and Gaur Nittai simultaneously. So we have both deities, which are there. So.
Much sentiments. At some point, it was very much. developing.
Yes, I have to find this balance.
Developing feelings for Radha and Krishna. No, we should develop feelings for Radha and Krishna. Just like one time Guru Arjuna Maharaj wrote a letter to Prabhupada. He said, sometimes when I go before Radha Rasa Bihari in Juhu, in Mumbai, in our temple there, he said, sometimes I come to Aarti and I see the Aarti of Radha Rasa Bihari, Radha and Krishna. He said, sometimes tears come in my eyes. And Prabhupada said, this is very good. This is bhakti. So this should be there. But the Acharyas teach us, your bhakti, it should be kept hidden in your heart. It should not come outside. Like that. The example they give is like the candle. You keep the candle in the hidden place, and then it burns very brightly. But then if you bring the candle out, right, then the wind will blow it out. So similarly, our feelings for Radha and Krishna and Gaur Nithai and Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, they should be kept within our heart. They should not be made public. In other words, we should not show any feeling or sentiment externally. It should be kept within ourselves. It's not that it is not there, but it is something there. Because if it comes out, then because we very much our tendency is to be proud, then we want to show that to other people. Oh, I'm so advanced. Look, I have these sentiments, I have these emotions, I have these feelings. And then that cheapens it. And when you cheapen it, that is called sahajya. Sahajya means it becomes cheap. And then it blows out. Lord Chaitanya does not like that. So it is not that we should not cultivate those feelings. The feelings should be there. We should love to serve Radha and Krishna. You love to dance in front of them. You love to sing for them. You love to make the garlands for them. And then when you take second initiation, you can go and you can personally decorate them and personally serve them. So we like to do all these things. And we have to do it with the fear. Bhakti means emotion. The emotion should not be not cultivated, but it should not become external and cheap, and should not be a show. No? That, oh, look, I have all these sentiments like that. That's called sahajiya. Sahajiya, you go to India, and the people that come into the temple, like I've been in Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, and some people, they come in and they begin to roll around on the ground, rolling back and forth, and, oh, Krishna, Krishna. And then, sometimes when Prabhupada was there in 1977, people would come in, and during the kirtan, they would begin to roll on the ground. So devotees would go and say to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, there's someone in the temple rolling around on the ground. Prabhupada would say, kick them in the head. Prabhupada did not like false sentiment. Prabhupada didn't want us to go and kick them in the head. But he was teaching us that he didn't approve of this false sentiment. It is sahajiya. And sahajiyaism became very prominent in the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Gaurabishwadas Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur became very prominent. And the three of them, especially Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, fought very heavily against this false show of emotion. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his life was threatened on different occasions. Even one time in Mayapur, some people went to the police and they said, you know, we'll give you some money, we're going to kill Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the police said, normally we'll take the bribes, but he said, we will not take any bribe for this person. This is a sadhu, we will not take any pride. But then they came and they said to Bhakti, they said, your life is in danger, you have to be careful. Like that. Because he was fighting heavily against these things. So it should not be cheap. So keep it in your heart. Make it grow and grow. Make the candle very bright, but keep it inside. Don't show it outside. Is it okay?
Yes, it's okay. But can I ask about why in the universe? It was the same? For instance, in the Sahaja Yuga,
No, you can show it to someone else, but the devotee has to be qualified. Like Mahaprabhu, he only talked about these things when the doors were closed, right? He went into Gambhir, into his room, right? And there was only 3.5 devotees. There was Ramananda Roy, right? Swarup Damodar, Shikimahiti, and Shikimahiti's sister would sit outside the door and listen. She could not come in because she was in female body, right? So very intimate like that. He didn't go out in public and talk about Radha, Krishna, Radha. He never said like that. It was all inside here. So you can speak about it, but only with confidential devotees. We don't just speak about it with everyone. We don't just go down the crossways and sit down at the table and say, you know, it becomes cheap. Just like, why do we chant Hare Krishna? Because in Vrindavan there is another Maha Mantra in the Nimbarka Sampradaya. Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. Right? That's the bona fide Maha Mantra. It is not unbona fide. That's coming from the Nimbarka Sampradaya. Four Sampradayas. Right? Our Madhva Sampradaya, we have Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And in that, they have Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Sham. Bona fide. Same Maha Mantra. Exactly the same. Words are the same. Right? But Lord Chaitanya appeared in Madhva Sampradaya and took Hare Krishna all over the world. He didn't want Radhe's name, Radharani's name, the name of Radhe, to be chanted publicly because it becomes cheap. And all the people are not qualified. Radhe, Radhe, like that, they should not chant it. So he kept it hidden. So he gave them Hare, same name, same person, but hidden. So that should be the mood. We should keep everything hidden until people become qualified and then we give it to them. Is it okay? Okay. Any other question, comment? Annie, did you have a question? Okay.
Like you said, we have to start Radha Krishna and Sitai Gora. So what importance of Jagannath Pradesh was there also? What is the importance?
What is the importance of Jagannath?
Jagannath Pradesh.
Jagannath is Krishna in Dwarka. Right? So when Krishna is in Dwarka, he is, or in Kurukshetra, two places, then he is feeling separation from Vrindavan. Just like if you read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna wakes up in the morning and he doesn't get up one morning. Narada arrives there and he doesn't get up. And as the pastime unfolds, we learn that Krishna, the reason he doesn't get up is because he's feeling too much separation from Vrindavan. Right? So this is Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. They are in Kurukshetra or in Dwarka and they're feeling separation from Vrindavan. And Gaur-Nitai are feeling separation from Vrindavan. So this is what our three altars represent. It's either Vrindavan Dham or Mayapur Dham or Puri Dham is the same. In Mayapur and Puri, devotees are feeling separation from Vrindavan. So that all the worship is in the same mood like that. We don't have time to tell the Jagannath pastime. There's a whole pastime behind how Jagannath manifests. Any other question or comment? The cows are in Vatsalya Ras because they want to give Krishna their milk, like that. And the vines and the flowers and the creepers on the trees, they're in Madhurya Ras because they see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So even though they cannot enter the pastime, because technically you'd say they're in Shanta, they're in like an immovable form, but because they're witnessing the pastime and because they're offering their flowers and fruits for those pastimes, then they're completely saturated in the mood of Madhurya Ras. So there is no, what you'd say, pure Shanta or pure Dasya. The elements, you could say, like even the stones, in describes in Brahma Samhita, that the stones in the spiritual world are Chintamani. Chinta means conscious. Right? So all the stones in Vrindavan are conscious. But they're feeling Madhurya Ras. Because they're feeling, oh, Krishna and the gopis are performing their pastimes, and they're watching those pastimes like that. So there's no pure Shanta or no pure Dasya. That is Vaikuntha. The stones in Vaikuntha, they are Shanta. They are Dasya like that. But in Vrindavan, there's only the higher rasas. So, any other question or comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada, key.